Lord, teach us to pray. It's kind of one of the things that, as a Christian, we expect to know what to do, how to do, when to pray. And yet, I suspect that, like me, you probably think you're not very good. Maybe there are some great prayers here. But for me, my life of prayer is a very frustrating experience because it never seems to be what I want it to be. That sense of being authentic, that sense of being able to place myself in the presence of God. I mean, for goodness sake, we're placing ourselves in the presence of God, the God of the universe, the God who created everything in the first place, the God who continues to sustain everything around us. I mean, what amazing boldness to say that I can be in the very presence of God. And yet, that is the very invitation that the Lord places before us, to be in His presence, to allow Him to love us. So how do we pray? How do we bring ourselves before the Lord? What do we say? What do we do? And indeed, the readings today do give us some great insights into this. The first reading is that magnificent story of Jewish bargaining, when Abraham is presented with this fait accompli by the Lord. The Sodom and Gomorrah are these terrible, wicked, inhospitable places that they have refused the very hospitality of the Lord. And they have conspired to do these unmentionable things against the Lord and His messengers. And so He says to Abraham, it's just beyond the pale. It must be destroyed. In lots of ways, this story echoes the one earlier in the book of Genesis, that equally terrible tale, when the Lord comes to a man named Noah and says much the same thing. But there it's not just a single city, there it's the whole world. And the Lord says to Noah, look, the sons of man have become so wicked and so perverse, indeed that I regret having created humanity in the first place, that I'm going to just obliterate the whole world, apart from these few families and the two of each animal. And unlike Abraham, what does Noah do? Bugger all. He just says, okay, come and destroy the world. No arguing, no telling God off, no saying, but Lord, look, there are these good things. There is, you know, a new prime minister. There's all these incredible things that are happening among us. There's an election that is driving us all batty, but it's wonderful. He doesn't even do any of that. At least Abraham takes God to task. At least Abraham says, but Lord, what if there are 50? Surely there must be 50 people in there who are good. What if there are 50 righteous? And God says, okay, I won't destroy it. And then the bargaining begins. What if the 50 is short by 5? What if there are only 45 who are there? What about 40? Would you believe 30? What about 20? And so on. It provides for us a sign as to what our life of prayer should be about. The first thing is we have to be real. We have to be honest. If you're having the most terrible and horrible, and you can add your favorite expletive into that sentence, if your day, your week is just an abomination, don't come to God and say, oh Lord, the world is such a wonderful place and I praise you and I exalt you for all the wonders of your being. No, be honest, be true, and be like Abraham and tell him off. Be like the psalmist so often, who just say, where are you, God? Where have you hidden yourself? How come I can no longer experience your presence? What is happening? How come you took my mom away from me? How come my child is sick? What on earth is happening in the Middle East? What on earth is happening in Australian politics? What is going on? Because when the disciples came to Jesus, when they said, teach us to pray, that opening line of the prayer that we know of as the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, provides this incredible balance, because simultaneously we're invited into this most intimate and immediate experience with God. To be able to call God Father, Pater, Abba. To be able to place ourselves before the God of the universe, the God who is all holy, and say, Daddy, that is the most incredible gift and right of every Christian. And yet, the God that we call Father is also holy, is also in heaven, is also righteous, is also unbelievably powerful, almighty, omniscient, all-knowing, all-wonderful. The God that we place ourselves in the presence of, the God that we're invited to be honest with, is a God who is simultaneously intimate and yet all-holy. That is the first thing that we need to begin to work with, to be able to find that right balance, to be able to pray in the presence of an all-holy God, but an all-holy God who himself invites us into his presence, a God who wants us to know him, a God who wants us to be loved by him. And then the invitation is to begin to really pray for his will to be done, to pray that we will be able to be loved and forgiven ourselves, so that in turn we can love and forgive these strange people that he's placed around us. That is the invitation of God, to know his love, to know his forgiveness, to know his freedom, so that indeed we can begin to live that out in our own lives, to experience that wonder and that presence ourselves. And how do we do this? By receiving that daily bread. And the Greek way of expressing that indicates that it's not just ordinary bread. It's not just the normal bread that you serve at breakfast or dinner. It's that super substantial bread. It's the bread of life, the bread that is consecrated and transformed through the Eucharist, the bread that provides for us all that we need, and that power and that ability to be changed by God's very presence. So we need to pray with faith. We need to pray with that understanding that God is already here, that God is already present, and that it's God who's doing the calling, God who's doing the leading into this presence. To pray with faith, to pray in forgiveness, to pray with hope, to pray for healing, to pray to be changed. And we pray, of course, in the very name of Jesus. Everything that we do is changed and transformed because we have been invited into this sense of discipleship with the Lord, that we have been invited to journey with Jesus to Jerusalem. So to pray with simplicity, to pray with humility, to pray with honesty, that is the invitation that the Lord gives to us, to be ourselves, just to be in his very presence, to let him love us, to let him forgive us, to let him call us to be more authentically human, so that we in our turn can be changed and transformed by him, so that in Jesus' name we can be his people and his very presence in the world.